brought us so many questions we'd love to know the answers to, wouldn't we? In our world, when and how is this global pandemic going to come to an end? In our country, who will win the election? As a church, in the middle of a pastoral transition, what does the future hold for Trinity Fellowship Church? Today we celebrate 43 years of God's faithfulness to us, and maybe we wonder what the next year is going to look like. Is God's faithfulness to us going to continue? Because we can approach the future really with one of two postures. We can, in our uncertainty about the future, we can worry, right? We can wring our hands because we don't know the future, or we can take more of a faith approach, understanding that God doesn't tell us the future because he wants us to depend on him. Our sovereign God knows the future. Our sovereign God is in control, and he draws us into dependence, precisely in our uncertainty and not knowing what the future holds. And so as a church, we don't have to know exactly what's next, because we trust a God who will never leave us or forsake us. And while the details are unknown, God has clearly led us in a vision. God has clearly led us in a biblical vision for the future that isn't changing. A vision, really, we've just begun moving into. And so as we look ahead, we can do so with confidence, knowing that God intends to keep leading us, and God intends to keep growing us for his glory. We just heard these words in John 15 read for us. This passage falls into what's called Jesus' farewell discourse, some final key teaching for his disciples before Jesus goes to the cross. And so it's fitting here that in this farewell discourse, Jesus teaches us about this fundamental relationship, this connection that we have with him as his disciples. Jesus calls himself the true vine. To get the weight of this, we should know God repeatedly called his people Israel in the Old Testament his vine. Key passage, there's many, but a key one is Isaiah 5, where God laments that despite all his care, despite all his pruning of this vine, it really bore no good fruit. But Jesus here is saying that he is the vine. He's the true vine. He's the one that fulfills God's original intention for his people, and he says we are the branches attached to him. And so he alone is our true source of life. Just like a branch can't survive on its own, we find no real life apart from Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're here in the sanctuary or joining us online, this is an invitation for you to consider what this means to have this vital connection, this relationship to Jesus Christ. The Apostle John puts it really well in his first letter, really simply. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you want to know more about what that means, please let us know. If you're online, contact us. We'd love to share with you more about what that means to have this vital relationship with Christ. But I'd like us to consider this morning briefly what this means for us as a church. What our future looks like through the lens of John 15. What's guiding us again toward that future is a vision. If you're new to TFC or maybe need a refresher, we've chosen an image of a tree, a thriving tree to represent our long-term vision, this horizon that we believe God is leading us toward. Now, for our purposes this morning in John 15, a vine is not the same thing as a tree. I am aware of that. Okay. But I think you'll see that the principles are very much the same. We want to keep growing deeper in the love of Christ, and we want to keep reaching wider to share his love with others. And just like a healthy tree, we want our roots and our branches both to be growing equally. We first shared the details of this vision about 2 years ago. We've taken significant steps in this direction. We're going to keep moving this direction, following God's lead. And so let's look at what deeper roots might look like and what wider branches might look like through the lens of John 15. So look there at verse 1 again. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Even just these couple of verses show us that we can't really separate the truth about the roots and the fruit or the branches in the case of our vision. They're really connected, right? Just like we said in our vision, both should be growing together. One depends on the other. But as we consider our roots growing deeper in Christ, the key imperative for us here in John 15 is abide. We must abide in Christ, remain deeply rooted, and continue those roots growing deeper in Christ as our source of life and provision, just as a plant cannot live apart from its roots. Our kids have always loved to pick flowers for their mom. And on many occasions, they've come home, maybe we've been out for a walk, and they've picked a flower or a dandelion or something, and they'll plop it in a cup with water when we get home. But they expect it to keep growing. And that's happened on many occasions. Because we really have to teach them. It doesn't necessarily come natural, this idea, this principle of the roots. We have to remain vitally connected to roots. And I remember as a kid thinking I could plant a tree just by grabbing a stick off the ground and shoving it in the dirt and maybe watering it and seeing what happens. And I was disappointed every time. Sadly, my gardening skills have not advanced much beyond that. Still. But at least now I know that a plant has to be connected to the roots in order to grow, in order to stay alive. And for us as a church, not just to stay alive, not just to survive, but to thrive, we need to remain deeply rooted in Christ, roots growing deeper. And our roots have grown deep in many ways over the last 43 years. But we cannot be satisfied just with past growth. Because growth implies movement. Growth implies ongoing transformation. And so we want to be a people more devoted to Christ than our comfort or our preferences. Is Jesus Christ really enough for us, even when he guides us into challenging places, as we've been talking about in our series on peacemaking? And right now in a pastoral transition, with all the challenges that that brings, that is where Christ has us right now. That is where he has sovereignly brought us together. And how we respond to challenges and discomfort has a way of revealing our idols, doesn't it? Those things that we so often cling to rather than Christ, as if they can give us life. But he alone is our life. We can't lose sight of abiding in him. That means, for one thing, a growing personal relationship with Christ. Not just checking the boxes, but really drawing on his life. Being increasingly satisfied as you meet Christ in his word, as you meet Christ in prayer. Knowing his peace that really affects our daily life. This is the kind of relationship we're talking about here. But that also means a corporate relationship with Jesus Christ. The New Testament knows nothing of a Christian who just goes it alone. Jesus has given us the church so we can remain deeply rooted in him as we remain vitally connected with one another. When's the last time a brother or sister in this church has spoken a word to you, a word of truth or encouragement, and you to them? I can't count all the times that many of you in a connection group or a Bible study have spoken a word to me that has pointed me back to my true source of life in Christ. Because that's community. That's what community is all about. Now, there's some harsh words in this passage, aren't there? But remember, this is a metaphor of pruning a vine. Okay, we're not talking about losing our salvation, but we do risk losing the blessing of being used by God. The risk is we can stop drawing on the life that is ours, this good life in communion with God that we were created for. And I wonder how many of us are often more like a flower dropped in a cup. Still looking okay on the outside, there's still some semblance of life, but we're not drawing on real life. We're not drawing on the very life of Christ and his provision for us from a place of deep dependence. God is the one who grows our roots deeper. God is the one who does this work, but we have to participate in the process. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Remember, roots and branches grow together. In this image of the vine, abiding and fruit grow together. A church can't survive if it's focused only inwardly. I mean, what good is a tree with deep roots if on the outside, above the ground, there's no beauty, there's no shade provided, there's no fruit? Remember, the Father here is pictured as the vine dresser, busy pruning the branches so they bear fruit. Just as healthy roots are needed for good fruit, so a plant needs to be cared for. There's a necessary pruning process to reach its fruit-bearing potential. I've already revealed my extent of gardening knowledge, which is near zero, but I have read and I have heard from others why pruning is so important. Left to themselves, branches and shoots can grow in all sorts of directions, crazy ways, can't they? Oftentimes getting tangled up and even blocking their own light. Pruning helps the plant stop wasting energy and going in all sorts of unproductive directions. And this image that Jesus chose of the vine is so rich. There's so many lessons that we can draw from it. Listen to the way N.T. Wright describes the pruning of roses. You cut out particularly, he says, the parts of the plant that are growing inwards and getting tangled up. You encourage the shoots that are growing outwards toward the light. You prune the rose to help it be its true self. That's what this pruning is all about, to help us be our true self. What an image. God is pruning us personally and together as a church, and often it's not a pleasant process, is it? It's much easier just to go with the flow. We'd prefer to go on our own, in our own direction. But it's uncomfortable only because this pruning disrupts us when we grow in wrong directions, when we're wasting our energy. He wants to trim off what's unproductive. He prunes not to hinder us, but that we might find freedom in being who we were created to be. And this applies to us as a church. Because left to ourselves, we can often look something like this, can't we? This tree's been left alone. This tree's probably comfortable, not having to worry about being pruned, just minding its own business, right? But just by looking at it, you can see this tree is so far from what it was meant to be, so far from what it could be. Only when a tree is nurtured and properly cared for can it reach its potential. This is what God intends to do in us. Remember, God is the vine dresser. God is the one who does the pruning. It's His work. It's not our work. It's His work, but He calls us, He expects us to participate, to cooperate. Case in point, remember Old Testament Israel. They resisted God's pruning. Isaiah 5, God planted His vine, His beloved vine, in fertile soil. He did everything He could. He pruned it. He cared for this vine. He nurtured this vine. And yet every time He came back to it, He saw it only yielded wild grapes. What a tragic image. So we too can resist this work of pruning in us, individually and as a church. We can have hard hearts. We can have unresolved conflict. We can have disunity. We can come to worship. We can come to church with a list of demands, as if it's all for our entertainment. And a danger in a pastoral transition is everybody has their idea of what they think Trinity Fellowship Church should look like, and we elevate that as the right way. But the thing is, when we make it all about us, the irony is we become less of ourselves, of our true selves, who we were created to be. Our branches turn inward. They get all tangled up and twisted. We get in our own way. We get in our own light. That mentality is death to a church. And so this is what God wants to cut out. But we don't have to fear the pruning process, even if it's sometimes unpleasant, even if it's sometimes uncomfortable. Because think of how close the vine dresser has to be to the vine when he's pruning. The vine dresser is never closer to the vine than when he's pruning. We give thanks for all the ways God has been growing us growing our branches wider in our community, around the world, even through our cross-cultural partners. We've been growing relationships with local schools in our community. I mean, this year, COVID has disrupted lots of our plans, but our church is still serving. We're still making an impact. Our monthly food drives are helping meet real needs in our community. People are inviting others into the life of our church family, here and online even in new ways. Who knows what God will do here in us, what God will do through us in the weeks and months ahead, but let's have a posture of hope. Let's have a posture of faith. Let's be expectant as we move ahead with hearts open to what God wants to do. One application I'll leave you with from this text is to pray. Look at verse 7 again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Prayer is this privilege that we have as we abide in Christ, as we are attached to Christ and drawing on his life, drawing on his provision. We have this communion with him. We can pray, we can ask, and he gives us whatever we ask according to his will. And so as we look ahead for the future of our church, let's commit to pray. Pray on your own. Pray in our connection groups. Pray in our prayer gatherings. For this vision to be realized, we have to come together and pray. And it's in bearing fruit, verse 8 tells us, that we glorify God and we actually prove to be his disciples in the first place. And so as we come to worship, our focus should be not what we get out of it, but what we offer to God. As we come to meet with one another, our focus should be on how we can serve one another, not just to be served. And so let's let God prune critical and divisive spirits. Let's let God give us instead a heart of generosity, asking, how can I build up my brother or sister? A heart of service, ready to give of ourselves, our time and our resources for the sake of others, for the building up of God's kingdom. As we move together, God intends for us all to be not passive observers, but active participants in what he's doing. And so let's dream for just a second. Let's dream about the future of our church. For after 43 years, God isn't done here with us. This week as a staff, we asked each other, what's one concrete way you could see God moving as we move forward in our vision? Not necessarily official goals, but just sharing our heart. We did that together this week. And take a look.
I dream of a church that is growing in the life skill of full-hearted worship, flowing in creativity, even writing divinely inspired songs that reflect the vision of our church, like, we are moving together into the remarkable love of Jesus.
I dream of a church that is known for being a people of prayer, growing in our dependence on Christ as we pray faithfully in worship, connection groups, and prayer gatherings, expecting God to do what only he can do in our hearts and in our community.
I dream of a church where every person has someone they could call at 2 a.m. and know they would be known and loved and pointed to Christ. A community of communities of all ages that sacrifice comfort for the greater joy of following Christ's command to make disciples. A church where worship and serving and celebration would be shared in authentic relationships guided by the scriptures and marked by prayer.
I dream of a church that is united with others for the common good, and where each person is growing in their love for neighbors and even their enemies. A body of people who give of themselves in relationship to others, even to those who are very different from ourselves. A body of people growing in Christ's likeness as they move together with those inside and outside the church, loving and serving the vulnerable in our spheres of influence.
I dream of a church where families flourish as they surrender from what the culture deems success, and together grow deeper into truth and love, walking through the steps of parenting, baptism, changes, maturity, independence, and are equipped and eager to joyfully invite friends and family into the remarkable love of Jesus Christ.
I dream of a church where our multi-generational worship expands to multi-generational discipleship, and steps taken by one would be celebrated by all. Likewise, that our spheres of influence would always include someone we are mentoring as well as someone who is mentoring us. As we give thanks for God's provision, let us move forward with continued thanks that He is growing us with deeper roots to be anchored in Him and His love, and to have wider branches that we can make connections and relationships in our community for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Here at Trinity Fellowship Church, we continue to move together.
Well, what does the future hold? We don't know exactly. We can't know exactly. Only God knows. But we know that we are still moving forward as a church into the vision that He's put before us. And so we'll have to keep depending on God. We'll have to keep abiding in Christ together to see how He grows us in our 44th year and beyond. Because we're not supposed to know everything about the future. God wants us dependent on Him. And so in that uncertainty, we can turn a posture of worry into a posture of faith, of expectance, even imagination, and excitement as we see what God may have in store for us. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we give You thanks for Your faithfulness to us for 43 years. That is no small thing. And so we celebrate that today. We give You thanks. You've worked in and through us in more ways than we can count. So we praise You for Your goodness. Would You give us faith to keep moving into the vision that You've put before us? Help us to abide in Christ in deeper ways. Help us to be open as You come near to us to prune and to nurture and direct us outward to increase our reach and our fruit for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.